The Vampire's Valentine Surprise, A Nocturne Falls Short, written by Kristen Painter, narrated by B.J. Harrison. Chapter 1.
Hugh, psst, honey.
Hugh Ellingham kept his newspaper firmly in place and held very still. He wasn't exactly ignoring his wife, so much as he was trying to avoid tasting her 27th batch of frosting. Or was it the 28th? As fiercely as he loved her, there was only so much sugar a man, even one who was a vampire, could take.
I know you can hear me. For one thing, I have the same super-sharp vampire sense as you do. And for another, I'm standing right in front of you.
With a sigh, Hugh put his paper down to stare at the business end of a spoonful of buttercream. He dug deep for a smile. It was the fifth such spoon he'd faced down today. He should have done his reading in the living room, but he enjoyed his wife's company too much, so he'd settled at the kitchen table. Delaney, my dearest, love of my life, queen of my kingdom, I cannot possibly ingest any more sugar. I may become the first diabetic vampire if I do. She made a face that said his excuses held little weight with her.
Hugh, this is important. The Valentine's Day bake-off is tomorrow. This is my last chance to test this frosting. Well, maybe second to last. No, last. I want to run a batch of those truffles one more time. She lifted the spoon a little higher. Please?
He pulled back slightly, but there was only so far he could go within the confines of the kitchen chair. It was perfect 10 batches ago. She smirked and let the spoon drop a little.
Thanks, but you think everything I make is perfect.
He nearly sighed in relief as his distance from the spoon increased. Well, sales at your shop are excellent. I'd think if the things you were serving weren't up to snuff, the sales would show it. Have faith in yourself.
I do, but this is the Valentine's Day bake-off. Stanhill told me people come to Nocturne Falls from all over to compete in this thing.
Her eyes lit with the silver glow all vampires experienced when filled with strong emotion.
And I plan on winning.
She lifted the spoon toward him again. He laughed and shook his head. And I'm sure you will. But if you force any more sugar into me, I'll be in a coma and unable to enjoy your victory with you. She sighed and put the spoon back into the bowl.
If I lose, it's your fault.
He smiled patiently, as though already enduring the blame. I know. Stanhill, Hugh's rook and sort of butler, came in through the kitchen door, his arms filled with bags from the shop and save.
Pretty sure I bought the last of the butter.
Stanhill! Delaney exclaimed with excessive joy. I'm so glad you're home.
Thank you, miss.
He put the bags on the table and glanced at Hugh, who shook his head in slow warning. Stanhill looked back at Delaney with the tiniest bit of fear in his eyes, as if he sensed what lay in store for him.
May I ask why you're so glad I'm home?
She picked up the spoon of frosting again.
Because I need you to taste this.
Stanhill's eyes widened. He'd had his share of frosting, too, and cake, and truffles, and cookies. They'd all been up to their eyeballs in sweets since Delaney had first heard about the bake-off. He backed up a fraction. She stuck the spoon in his mouth before he could get another word out. Hugh snorted as Stanhill pulled the spoon free. The rook swallowed.
That was very delicious, as all the other frostings have been. But I've had all the sugar I can handle for the month.
She frowned at both of them.
You two act like this is a game. It's not. It's serious business, and...
That's it.
Hugh folded his paper and stood. Delaney, get dressed. We're going out.
What? I can't! This is the last day to practice this cake.
You've practiced enough, more than enough. It can't be any more perfect than it already is. You need a break from this kitchen. And we need a break from you in the kitchen. We're going to the Poisoned Apple for drinks and dinner. Real dinner, not cake samples.
She crossed her arms, leaned against the counter,
and seemed to be considering it. I was going to run more variation on the red velvet.
He shook his head. You're overthinking it.
Stanhill nodded. I agree. You're a bleeding whiz in the kitchen. At this point, it's not about whether or not you're going to win, but it's how badly the others are going to lose.
She grinned at him. Okay, fine, you win. Hugh, just give me a few minutes to get all of this put away.
No, Stanhill said. I'll worry about the mess. You two go and have fun.
You're sure?
Delaney asked. Positive.
You'll give Captain his dinner? And I mean cat food, not bacon.
Hugh smirked. Delaney's cat wasn't about to miss a meal, especially not on Stanhill's watch. The rook spoiled the great black-and-white beast.
I won't let our boy go hungry, Stanhill smiled. You have my word, I'll give him a proper meal.
Thank you. She untied her apron and lifted it over her head, clearly amused at Hugh. I'll go clean up, change, and be right back down.
He winked at her.
Can't wait. I've forgotten what you look like without flour on your face.
She leaned in to kiss his cheek on her way out. Yes, you've made your point. Back in a few.
Take whatever time you need.
She left, and Hugh rested his hands on the paper, waiting until he heard the bedroom door close upstairs before he spoke again.
I swear, if I ate another bite of sweet, my veins were going to crystallize from all the sugar.
Stanhill laughed and took the mixing bowl off the stand mixer to bring it to the sink.
She's worrying for nothing.
I know that and you know that, but she wants to win this thing.
And she thinks if she doesn't,
it will hurt the business. Stanhill turned on the tap to fill the sink with hot water and added a hefty shot of dish detergent. After he put the soap down, he went to work rolling up his sleeves.
I don't think anything could hurt her business. It's a very popular spot.
It is.
And Delaney had to know that. Why then was she so worked up about this silly little bake-off? All right, perhaps it wasn't silly or little, but it bothered him to see her so stressed about something.
Stanhill, do you think there's anything else bothering Delaney? She'd tell me if there was, don't you think?
The rook was up to his arms in suds, his back to Hugh. He stayed that way as he spoke.
Of course she would. She has been a bit wound up lately, but I just figured it was this contest.
Hugh nodded. I'm sure that's it.
What's it? Delaney asked as she came in. She'd changed into a red cashmere sweater he'd given her for Christmas, jeans and heels. Hugh's brows lifted. The last 2 months of intense baking and sampling
meant his wife had accomplished something few vampires could manage
without incredible effort. She'd gotten curvier. Her figure, which had always been beautiful, had grown even lusher.
It was enough to make Hugh consider canceling their dinner out in favor of giving Stanhill the rest of the night off and staying home, in bed. She waved her hand in front of his face.
Hello, are you there?
He blinked.
Yes, I was just
lusting over his wife's body. He stood, trying to compose himself. I'll bring the car around. She laughed.
Were you just checking me out?
Caught, he frowned.
I am your husband.
She leaned against him, her sweet vanilla scent the only sugar he craved, and nibbled his jaw.
We could stay home.
He nodded, heat rising through his bones. His hands found her hips, and visions of the night ahead filled his mind. I suppose we could.
She pulled away again, her eyes sparkling with mischief. Except now I really want a steak.
He narrowed his eyes at her.
Is that because I wouldn't taste your frosting?
She laughed and backed toward the door.
Maybe.
He went after her, knowing that she was going to tease him all night until he could think of nothing else but bringing her home and taking her to bed. She enjoyed having that power over him. But he wasn't going to complain, not when the reward was so very worth it.
You two have fun, Stanhill called after them. We will,
Hugh shot back. Then he smiled at Delaney. We already are.
February 14th, Saturday morning. 2 hours until the bell rang to signal the start of the Nocturne Falls Valentine's Day bake-off. 2 hours
until the calm in the contestants' tents dissolved into chaos and frantic energy. Delaney felt like she was going to throw up. She'd felt that way since she'd woken up. Fortunately, Hugh had been very understanding about her request to postpone all Valentine's Day activities until that evening. She knew he had a gift for her, but she wanted to wait until this was over and she could really appreciate the effort he'd gone to. And now, here she was, facing down a crazy day of baking. The other contestants in the tent looked just as nervous as she felt. She had to get this under control. This was no way to start the day. Desperate for a distraction, she checked her list for the 1,000th time. Then she recounted her baking sheets and cake pans and did one more inventory on her supplies. She knew she had everything she needed, but that didn't put to rest the stupid little voice in her head that said she didn't. Her station of two tables and a stove oven unit and small fridge was set up in Tent 1 on the fairgrounds. There were 6 tents altogether, 3 for the actual bake-off that held 25 contestants each, and everyone was entering at least one of 3 categories: cakes, chocolates, and cookies. Except for the truly mad who had entered all 3. Why on earth had she done that? She groaned and tipped her head back to stare at the tent poles. She was crazy. She knew that now. Crazy and overly ambitious. But winning this contest could be big. Besides bragging rights and a righteous trophy, the winners in each category got a nod in Home Baker magazine. That kind of publicity could be just the thing to get Delaney's Delectables into the mail-order game. And mail-order chocolates and confections were big business. The kind of big that could lead to things like getting a spot on shopping TV. That would be the fulfillment of a dream that a year ago had felt so far away it might as well have been on Mars. She sighed. She was getting herself worked up over something that hadn't happened and might not. She knew that. So she closed her eyes and took a few measured breaths in an attempt to calm her nerves. Breathing wasn't a necessity as a vampire, but she'd only been one for 9 months, and some habits weren't that easy to break. "All ready?" She jumped, startled by the sound of her husband's voice. "Hugh, you scared me."
"Sorry, darling. Just thought I'd swing by with a coffee and see if you needed anything."
He held out a cup. It was from her favorite coffee shop, the Hallowed Bean, which was also conveniently located right across from her store on Black Cat Boulevard.
"That was very sweet of you, but I don't think caffeine is a good idea for me right now. How did you get in here anyway? I didn't think they let anyone in besides contestants and one assistant. And as much as I love you, I listed Ivy as my assistant."
The sheriff's wife had been helping out in Delaney's shop for a while now. Ivy Merrow had serious baking skills and was the first werewolf Delaney had ever called friend. He smiled.
"No one says no to an Ellingham, darling."
"I suppose not."
He glanced around.
"Where is Ivy?"
"Running to the store. If I need her, which I won't, she's got my okay to lock up and do whatever needs doing. But between Stanhill and I, I'm pretty sure we packed enough stuff for everyone in this tent to bake with."
"Good."
He held out the coffee again.
"You sure you don't want this? You love their coffee. You love all coffee."
"That I do, but today, maybe just leave it on the table. I'm not sure I'll drink it, but I might change my mind."
She frowned and whispered,
"I'm kind of a hot mess of nerves right now."
He put the cup down on the front table, then walked around it and pulled her into his arms.
"Don't be nervous, my love. You're going to do just fine. You've practiced these recipes so many times, I bet you could put them together with your eyes closed."
She leaned her head on his shoulder, so comforted by his loving embrace and kind words that she felt a little weepy. He was such a good man.
"You're right. I know you are. I just can't shake these nerves today."
He kissed her temple.
"That's natural, don't you think?"
She looked at him.
"Probably.
But none of the other contestants seemed to be freaking out."
"You're only saying that because you haven't seen Birdie Carruthers. She's in tent too. Apparently, she called Sheriff Merrow to report that one of her tables had been stolen and that he, as her nephew, had better find the perpetrator immediately."
Delaney shook her head. And? Hugh rolled his eyes. Her table was right where it was supposed to be, in front of her. She thought every contestant got 3.
Delaney giggled. Her mood lightened. That sounds like her.
She kissed him.
Thank you for taking care of me.
It's my life's work.
He winked at her. She rested her fingers on the amulet that hung from the slim chain around her neck. She hadn't taken it off since becoming a vampire, except to switch it over to a bracelet on occasion, but that particular piece of jewelry wouldn't fly with all the work she had before her today. She'd kept her wedding and engagement rings on, though.
I thought your life's work was figuring out how to keep us safe in the sun without these amulets.
He scowled.
Yes, that too. I suppose someday I'll discover a solution, but I'm damn tired of every experiment failing.
She patted his chest, feeling his own amulet beneath his shirt.
I'm just happy we have them, or neither one of us would be standing here.
The amulets, supplied to everyone in the Ellingham family by Alice Bishop, Eleonora Ellingham's personal secretary and all-around powerful witch, were a great source of consternation for Hugh and his 2 brothers, Sebastian and Julian. Their grandmother used the amulets to occasionally bend the men to her will. But then Eleonora liked to do that to just about everyone. The amulets just gave her leverage where her grandsons were concerned.
As am I. Doesn't mean I have to like them.
He kissed her once more.
I should let you get to it. I'm sure you have 1,000 things to do.
Thanks for reminding me.
She smiled. The rules say I can't start baking anything yet, but I do have a list of prep to take care of.
All right. I'll be home until it's time for the judging, unless you've changed your mind and you want me to stay.
No. You being here would only make me more nervous. Go home and work on the UV problem. I'll call if something comes up.
Very good. Or call me if you need anything. I'll run it right over. Best of luck now. Love you.
Thanks. Love you too.
She gave him a little wave, not bothering to tell him that if she had forgotten something, she was out of luck. The contestant rule stated that contestants had to have everything with them at the time of check-in. The most an assistant could do was help with the baking or decorating. He nodded and headed out of the tent, leaving her to work. She moved the coffee to her main work table, enjoying the smell of it, even if she wasn't going to drink it, then flipped open her notebook and looked at her prep list. According to the rules, chopping chocolate ahead of the contest's start time was allowed. Delaney needed white chocolate for the buttercream and dark chocolate for the truffles. She pulled out the 2 massive blocks of high-end, foil-wrapped chocolate she'd brought from her shop and laid them on one of the tables. They were about 4 times the amount she needed, so no chance of running out. In fact, based on the contents of the 2 coolers of supplies she'd let Stanhill help pack, he'd doubled everything on her list. She crouched down to sort through the plastic bin of tools she'd brought, in search of her chef's knife and cutting board.
Cheating already, Ellingham?
The familiar voice brought her back to her feet, knife in hand. She looked straight into the eyes of Vicky Keller. The woman's personal vendetta against Hugh and his family went back for years, but it had grown noticeably worse after Delaney had opened her shop. Vicky was the owner of Keller's Sweets and Treats, which had been the only candy store in town, until Delaney's shop had opened. Vicky considered Delaney direct competition. That much was clear. But in Delaney's mind, there was a huge difference between what the 2 stores sold. Everything in Delaney's was handmade. Everything in Vicky's was purchased somewhere else. And while some of it was old-fashioned candy impossible to get in most shops, the rest of it was pretty ordinary fare. Delaney couldn't quite bring herself to smile.
Don't tell me you're competing.
Vicky glanced at the knife in Delaney's hand like it was some kind of unspoken threat.
I'm not, but Mary is.
Well, good luck to her.
Mary was Vicky's very sweet teenage daughter. Delaney liked the girl. So much so, she'd taught her how to make truffles one day, when the teenager had stopped in after school. Delaney doubted Mary had told her mother about that, or any of the other visits she'd made to Delaney's shop.
She's going to have a hard time winning if this contest is filled with cheaters.
Isn't Mary competing in the junior division?
Vicky frowned.
So?
So I'm in the adult division. Delaney put the knife down and sighed, trying to find some patience. And I'm also not cheating, Vicky. I'm prepping.
The rules clearly state what kind of prep is allowed.
And chopping chocolate is fine. I'm not weighing it. I'm not melting it. I'm not making anything early. I'm just chopping. Cool? Or do you want me to call a judge over?
Vicky sniffed. I have to go see how Mary's doing.
That's what I thought. Delaney turned back to her table. The last thing she needed this morning was to let Vicky get to her. Delaney unwrapped the block of white chocolate, following Vicky with her eyes until she reached the opposite corner of the tent where Mary's station was. Delaney caught the teenager's eye and gave her a wave and a smile. Mary grinned and waved back, only to be scolded by her mother. With a shake of her head, Delaney went back to chopping. When she'd finished with the second block, she glanced over at Mary's station again. Vicky was gone and Mary looked distraught. Delaney checked the time. Still 1 hour and 45 minutes to go. She wiped her hands off and headed over to talk to Mary. No doubt her mother had said something to upset her.
Hi, Mary. I didn't know you were competing.
Mary turned. She looked on the verge of tears.
Hi, Mrs. Ellingham. You okay? Did your mom upset you?
Forget what she said. Whatever you make is going to be fabulous. Mary sniffed and shook her head.
I don't think so. I'm making an orange chocolate pound cake, and I forgot my eggs.
She sniffed again.
You can't make pound cake without eggs. I might as well go home. My mother was right. This was a bad idea.
Wait a sec. How many eggs do you need? Mary screwed up her face in an expression of gloom.
It's pound cake. I need, like, all the eggs.
Which is how many exactly? Mary frowned.
A dozen. A whole freaking dozen.
Delaney winked at her.
I can cover that.
Mary's mouth came open in surprise.
For real? Is that legal? I'm not sure, but let's find out. If it is, I'll hook you up.
She raised her hand and gave a wave to one of the bake-off contestant officials walking around. The woman, wearing a hot pink apron emblazoned with the contest's heart-shaped cupcake logo, came over.
Can I help you?
Yes, we have a question. What do the rules say about giving another contestant ingredients?
There are no additional outside ingredients allowed. If you have some you feel are extra, and you wish to give those away, that's all right.
What sort of ingredients are we talking about here?
Eggs. They're definitely extra, and they came in with me. You can check my cooler if you want.
The woman smiled.
No need. You're good to go.
Great. Thanks.
Delaney gave Mary a thumbs up. We're in the clear.
Mary grabbed her arm. Mrs. Ellingham, are you sure you can spare a whole dozen eggs?
I have 3 times as much stuff as I need. I'll be fine.
You're the best. Thank you.
Mary hugged her.
Delaney gave her a squeeze. You're very welcome. I'll go get them and be right back.
Mary let her go, and Delaney started through the tent toward her station. It was really getting packed as the last of the contestants and their assistants arrived in a flurry of activity. Delaney went around the center aisle and looked toward her spot at the opposite end of the tent. Someone was walking out of her station. Someone who looked very much like Vicky Keller.
Chapter 2
Hugh and Stanhill sat in Mummy's diner, enjoying a rare breakfast out. Hugh had told Delaney he would be home, but the diner was closer, and he wasn't keen on going home just yet, in case she needed him. This way, he could be nearby and ready to help. Although what he was going to do after breakfast, he wasn't sure. Maybe Delaney would call before then. As if on cue, his phone buzzed. He answered it after the first ring.
What can I do for you, my love?
You're never going to believe this.
I hope I didn't leave anything off her list, Stanhill said softly.
Hugh held up a finger.
Let me guess, you forgot something.
No, I have more than enough of everything. I think Stanhill doubled everything I asked him to pack, but that's not what I called about.
That's good.
Hugh looked at his rook.
You're in the clear.
The server came over with the coffee carafe.
Warm you boys up?
Warm you up? Where are you? Delaney asked.
Stanhill and I are at Mummy's having breakfast.
He nodded at the server so she'd freshen up his coffee.
What am I never going to believe?
After a dramatic pause, Delaney said,
I stepped away from my station for about 5 minutes, and when I headed back, Vicky Keller was in it. In my station. Right smack dab in the middle of it.
Delaney, think now, Hugh said. Are you absolutely sure that's what you saw? That tent was already starting to fill up with people when I left. Maybe it was someone else. A judge checking that everything was in place.
Oh, no. It was Icky Vicky, all right. She was behind my front table.
You're positive. She wasn't just walking by.
Yes. My eyesight is better than it ever was when I was human. She was in my station. Don't you believe me?
Of course I believe you, my love. I just can't imagine that woman would be so bold.
That makes two of us.
What's going on? Stanhill asked.
Hugh put his hand over the receiver on his cell phone.
Delaney says Vicky Keller was in her station.
Stanhill's brows shot up.
I smell trouble.
She was in my station, Delaney repeated.
I wouldn't put it past her. She's not an Ellingham fan.
Hugh sipped his coffee.
What do you think she was up to?
I think she was looking for eggs. Mary's in the bake-off and she forgot hers, poor kid. I'm going to give her a dozen because I have plenty. But I think her mother was hoping to steal them from me, which would be a double win as far as Vicky's concerned. Screw me while helping her kid.
Are you missing eggs?
Not that I can tell, but I'm not really sure how many dozen Stanhill put in the cooler. Can you ask him?
Hugh looked up from his phone again.
How many dozen eggs did you put in Delaney's cooler for the bake-off?
4,
Stanhill answered.
Then he squinted.
Or 5. Captain kept jumping in the cooler when I was loading it, and now I can't remember.
Stanhill says he doesn't remember if you put 4 or 5 dozen in because your chubby cat was in the way.
I heard what he said, and he did not say Captain was in the way, or chubby.
Hugh's smirk changed to a grin.
How many dozen are in there now?
A few moments went by before Delaney answered.
4, so that tells me nothing.
She made a disgusted little noise.
Never mind. There's nothing you can do without proof, and I don't want to get Mary disqualified. But I'm keeping my eye on her mother.
I think that's wise. If anything else happens, you let me know right away. I won't have Vicky adding to your stress.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Love you.
Love you too.
He hung up.
Stanhill leaned forward.
You think Keller did something?
Or intended to?
Hugh shook his head.
I don't doubt for a moment that Victoria Keller is up to something, but what can we do? We have no proof and we weren't there to witness it.
Stanhill finished a bite of his pancakes and a sly smile crossed his face.
Corette's a judge this year. I wasn't supposed to say anything because that's all supposed to be secret. But it's the day of the contest and the judges' list will be announced soon enough.
Is that so? Corette Williams was not only a skilled witch, she was Stanhill's betrothed. She ran the bridal shop in town and was well-liked by everyone. It was no surprise that she'd been chosen as a judge for this year's bake-off. Stanhill nodded.
She's head of the cake category.
I guess they figured with her having the bridal shop, cakes weren't too far out of her field, even if they weren't for weddings. You want me to call her? Tell her something's up?
Hugh shook his head.
Not yet. Again, without proof Keller did anything, what can we say? But it's good to know you have Corette on speed dial.
He picked up his coffee.
Just in case.
The air horn signaling the start of the bake-off had been blown half an hour ago, and Delaney had just put her cake pans in the oven. She wiped her forehead and leaned against her work table. Somehow, despite having the strength and fortitude of a vampire, she was feeling a little wiped out. It was the stress, she knew that. She just didn't know what to do about it. She turned to her table to start cleaning up and begin the mascarpone frosting that would anchor the raspberries in each layer of her red velvet cake, and saw the coffee Hugh had bought her. She smiled and picked up the cup. That man was just perfect. The coffee had gone cold, but she popped it in the small microwave the contest had provided and reheated it. The first sip told her this was just what she needed. The tent was a little chilly, although she knew it would soon heat up as the ovens were being used. But for now, hot coffee, even if it was reheated, was just the thing. She peeked at the cakes through the oven door. She'd programmed the timer to go off about 10 minutes early so she could monitor the progress and make a judgment call before they had any chance of being overcooked. The temperature gauge she'd set on the first rack was reading a little high compared to what the temperature was supposed to be, so she lowered the oven by 10 degrees. Satisfied, she got to work on her frosting, losing herself in the process she so enjoyed. By the time the timer went off, she had finished the mascarpone frosting and was halfway through the white chocolate buttercream. She whipped around to get the cakes out, and a wave of dizziness hit her. It felt like the sort of thing that sometimes happened when she hadn't fed for a while. She chalked it up to being overstressed because she'd fed yesterday morning, a necessity to keep herself healthy as a vampire. She could easily go 2 or 3 days between feedings. As far as normal food went, she'd had 2 pieces of toast this morning and nothing else. Her nerves made it seem like anything more would be risking an upset stomach. Steadying herself, she got the cakes out and put them on racks to cool. Could vampires get upset stomachs? Because she kind of felt like hers was about to rebel. Her mouth watered, and a sudden swell of nausea spun through her. What on earth was going on? She leaned against her work table, her gaze landing on her coffee. The cup had been in her station even while she'd been talking to Mary, and then again when she'd taken the eggs back to Mary. Holy fudgeballs. Had Vicky Keller put something in her coffee? She'd certainly had the chance. Delaney blew out a long, slow breath in an effort to calm herself. She straightened and stared at the cakes she'd just taken out, not really seeing them, as she tried to determine if Vicky was really that awful of a person. "Hey, you!" Delaney turned, carefully. Then her jaw fell open. "Roxy, you're here?" The woman standing in the tent aisle grinned. "Yep." She pulled off her sunglasses and raised her hands. "Surprise!" "No kidding! Wow!" Delaney rushed around the front table to hug her friend. Roxy St. James was one of Delaney's besties from college, and they'd recently reconnected on social media. Delaney released Roxy enough to see her friend better. "Why didn't you tell me you were coming? Where are you staying? Are you here by yourself? Are you looking at houses?" Roxy shrugged, her pretty hazel eyes crinkling at the corners. "I didn't tell you I was coming because I knew you were competing today, and I didn't want you to worry about me when you had so much other stuff to focus on." She settled her sunglasses on the top of her head and leaned in to say in a mock whisper, "Plus, you know, paparazzi." Delaney laughed, instantly feeling better. The petite brunette was sharp, funny, and in some circles, kind of famous. The woman had made a name for herself writing paranormal romance novels. She'd just gone through an awful divorce, and when she'd mentioned wanting a fresh start, Delaney had told her about Nocturne Falls. Not everything about Nocturne Falls. Roxy was human, after all. "It's so good to see you."
"You too."
Roxy squinted. "I hate to even say this, but are you feeling okay? You look a little, I don't know, tired." "I'm sorry, never mind. I'm sure it's just a busy day, huh?"
"It is, but I don't feel like myself at all."
Delaney grabbed Roxy's hand and pulled her into the baking station to get her away from the milling crowds.
"Don't laugh, but I think someone might have slipped something into my coffee."
"What?" Roxy's eyes rounded. "For real?" Delaney nodded. She'd known immediately Roxy wouldn't blow it off. Her writer's brain probably knew everything was a possibility.
"It's a long story, but the woman in question has a big grudge against me and my husband's family. Her daughter is competing today, and the kid is as sweet as can be. But her mother is a real piece of work."
"What can I do to help? You want me to find a cop or something?"
"No, I can't prove anything."
Roxy looked around, her gaze stopping on the coffee cup Hugh had brought.
"Is that the coffee?"
Delaney nodded. Roxy stared at the cup for a second, tapping her bottom lip with one short pink fingernail.
"You could get the coffee tested. Do you know anyone?"
Delaney retied her apron, which had been slipping loose.
I know the sheriff, but I'm not sure our little town has the resources. He could probably send it off, though. Or she could get one of the witches to test it. That would be a hell of a lot faster. But she couldn't quite explain that to Roxy. Do it, then. Why not? If this woman really did something, you can't just let that go. And if she didn't? Roxy waggled her brows. Then I won't have to kill her off in a book. Delaney grinned. Please tell me that you're moving and you're here to stay. Not this time. I just came to have a look around at this place you keep telling me is so awesome. She grinned. It really is, at least what I've seen so far. And? Roxy laughed. And I'm coming back in a month or two to look at some houses. I talked to that realtor you hooked me up with, Pandora Williams. As soon as I finalize a few things at home, I'll be back. Her eyes lit up. For good. You mean it? Roxy nodded. I need a fresh start, and with my new series doing so well, I can afford a lot of things I couldn't before. Really, though, it's more about getting away from all the bad memories and creating new ones that have nothing to do with Dean. Delaney sighed. Roxy's ex-husband had been a controlling jerk. You'll love it here, I promise. And with what you write, this town is perfect. Come on, a town that celebrates Halloween 365 days a year? What better place for a paranormal romance author to live? Yeah, that part kind of got me. Plus, it feels like there's a great sense of community here. A real small-town, neighborly kind of vibe. Except for the neighbors trying to poison you. They both laughed. Then Roxy tucked a strand of hair behind one ear. Listen, we can catch up some more later, after you win this thing. I don't want to be the reason that doesn't happen. Thanks, I appreciate that. Hey, you know, there's a chocolate sampling going on in the main tent. Why do you think I'm ditching you? Roxy winked. I'll be back to watch you get crowned. Delaney shook her head. There's no tiara involved. There should be. There should be tiaras for everything. Call me if you need anything. I need to see about getting some chocolate in my system. Writers live on that, you know. Roxy gave Delaney another hug. Then, with a little wave, she disappeared into the crowd. Delaney went back to work, her spirits lightened by the arrival of her friend. It would be great having her around. The coffee cup caught her eye again. She sighed. Whatever Vicky had slipped in there had not only made her queasy but forgetful. She picked up her phone and dialed Hugh again. Chapter 3. Tent 1 was in full pandemonium when Hugh arrived, so he didn't have to lower his voice much to keep from being overheard. Even so, he edged closer to Delaney. You want me to do what? Take the coffee to one of the witches and get them to test it, Delaney said. I'm happy to do that.
If you're feeling poorly, maybe you should...
Do not say quit. She picked up her big wooden mixing spoon, the end of which was clotted with cookie dough or cake batter or frosting, and waved it at him. Or so help me, I will swat you with this.
I wasn't going to say quit, he straightened. Never quit.
But he couldn't help but be worried. She was everything to him. He'd almost lost her once. That wasn't something he ever wanted to experience again. Good, because it's not happening. She put the spoon down and picked up the coffee cup, holding it out to him. Take this to Marigold. She's probably in her shop, and with all this craziness going on here, she can't be that busy.
He smirked as he took the cup. My darling, it's Valentine's Day. I'm sure the florist's shop makes this place look deserted.
Delaney put her hand on her forehead. I totally forgot. Okay, not Marigold then. What about Charisma?
I'm not sure she's in town.
Delaney rested her hands on her hips. Pandora? She's got to be around. She looked into the crowd. In fact, she might be meeting with my friend Roxy about houses.
I don't know about that, but Pandora probably is here somewhere. At least I know her boyfriend and his daughter are. Stanhill and I saw them earlier. Say, Cole's daughter's a witch, right?
A witch in training. This is probably full-on witch stuff. Oh, maybe you could get Corette. I know she'd do it.
He frowned. Not a good idea. He lowered his voice. She's a judge this year. Can't be seen fraternizing.
Delaney's eyes rounded, and she shook her head. No, definitely not. Okay, maybe you could look around and see if you can find Pandora, then bring her back here. I have to get this dough in to chill, or I'm never going to be able to roll it out.
I'm on it. But I'd better leave the coffee here. I'd hate for someone to run into me and spill it.
He put it at the back of her work table, bringing him closer to her. She seemed a little pale, even for a vampire.
You sure you don't need anything? I can bring you a bite to eat if you'd like. Or maybe you should sit.
She put her hand on her stomach. No food. Just the thought is... No. And I'll sit when I can, promise.
He frowned.
You're so cute when you get all concerned. I'll be fine.
Very well.
He growled softly, but took off into the throng. This was not his usual sort of activity, but that had all changed with the arrival of Delaney. She was too full of energy to be kept away from these things. She wanted to taste every flavor life had to offer, and with her at his side, he was happy to do the same. Well, perhaps not happy when it came to crowds, but he enjoyed things far more with her along. Now he had to find out if Vicky Keller had actually tried to hurt his beloved. His fangs shot down through his gums, and he knew his eyes must have silvered, because the anger in him was barely containable. No one was going to hurt Delaney and get away with it. First he had to find the witch. If Pandora was with Cole and his daughter, where would they be? The fairgrounds were mobbed with people. The weather was cool, but the sun was out, making it a good day for an outside event. Besides the bake-off, there were carnival games set up, pie-eating contests, tastings of all sorts. The tastings. He was sure he'd heard one of them had something to do with chocolate. That was probably something a teenage girl would enjoy very much. He stopped one of the event workers, a young feline shifter by the name of Carolyn Linzer, whose family owned the pet store in town.
Miss Linzer?
She smiled brightly.
Mr. Ellingham, how nice to see you. Can I help you with something?
Yes, do you know if there's a chocolate tasting going on?
She nodded and pointed back toward a tent at the center of the melee.
All day long in Tent 5. There's also chocolate carving and an exhibit on how chocolate is made.
Thank you.
That was more information than he needed, but he smiled politely as he headed on his way. The intense smell of chocolate hit him when he was still 50 feet away. It was overpowering to his senses, but not entirely unpleasant. He made his way into the tent and navigated to the tasting area. He found Pandora pretty quickly, thanks to her red hair. Cole and his daughter were with her as well. He approached them, the need to know if his wife had been poisoned paramount in his mind.
"Excuse me, Pandora, Cole. I'm sorry to interrupt."
They both turned. Cole stuck his hand out. The man had become one of the best teachers Harmswood Academy had seen since taking the job. Students loved him.
"Mr. Ellingham, good to see you."
"And you. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves."
"We are," he said. "Right, Kaylee?"
The girl leaned against her father and spoke around a hunk of chocolate she was nibbling on.
"Oh, yeah, totally."
But Pandora's smile faded.
"Hugh, what's wrong? You look upset."
"It's Delaney." He glanced around.
"She thinks someone may have slipped something into her coffee. She was hoping you could test it with your skills and see if you could tell. Is that something you could do?"
She nodded. "Sure, if it's organic. Marigold would be better, but today is sort of her Black Friday."
"I understand. Whatever you can do to help would be appreciated."
"Absolutely." She looked at Cole. "You guys can stay here. I shouldn't be too long." Kaylee said, "If it's witchy stuff, I want to come. After, like, one more sample."
Pandora glanced at Hugh.
"That all right with you?"
"Of course."
Pandora put her hand on Cole's arm. "You and Kaylee finish up here and then come find us in..."
She checked with Hugh.
"What tent?"
"Tent 1. Delaney Station is the first one on the right-hand side."
"Got it,"
Cole said. Pandora gave Hugh a nod. "Let's go." Hugh led her back to Tent 1 and Delaney Station. When they arrived, she was nestling raspberries into a thick layer of white frosting, covering a layer of red cake.
"I found her," Hugh announced.
Delaney looked up from her work. Hugh's gut clenched. He didn't remember there being such dark circles under her eyes. Something was definitely wrong.
"Are you all right?"
He went to her side, looping his arm around her waist.
"You don't look well, my love."
She sank against him with a sigh.
"I just got really tired all of a sudden."
"Are you coming down with something?" Pandora asked. "Is that even possible for you guys?"
Hugh knew she meant vampires.
"Not really. You'd better test that coffee."
Pandora nodded.
"Where is it?"
Delaney pointed.
"That's it in the hallowed bean cup."
"Okay." Pandora picked it up, pried off the top, and sniffed.
"I don't smell anything odd.
I need some alone time with this to do what I really need to.
I can't cast a spell right here in front of everyone."
Hugh helped Delaney sit on the folding camp chair that Stanhill had thoughtfully added to her inventory.
"Take it to the first aid tent. It's just behind this one. Tell them you need to make a call, and I said you could have the tent to yourself.
If that doesn't get you some privacy, call me,
and I'll personally come over and make it happen."
Pandora smiled, then reached over and gave Delaney's shoulder a squeeze. "I'll be back as soon as I can with an answer."
"Thanks," Delaney said.
Pandora left, and Hugh knelt beside Delaney.
"I think we already know the answer. I'm going to call Sheriff Merrow and have that woman arrested."
"We don't know for sure." Delaney patted his cheek. "I feel better just sitting. Maybe I picked up something. There must be some kind of bug vampires can get."
"There isn't. But we are not immune to everything. Like poison."
Delaney tipped her head. "And how would Vicky be able to figure out what sort of thing would make a vampire sick? She doesn't even know I'm a vampire."
"I don't know. Dumb luck? That's probably the only kind she has."
Delaney smiled weakly.
"I have a cake to finish."
She pushed to her feet with visible effort.
"You can barely stand."
"I can stand just fine."
She leaned on the table. "I'm not giving up." He frowned at his beautiful, stubborn wife.
"Then I'm going to stand right next to you and help hold you up. That's not against the rules, is it?"
Her grin strengthened.
"No."
He planted himself next to her, keeping one arm locked around her waist.
"Good, because even if it was, it wouldn't stop me."
"I know," she said softly. "You wonderful, obstinate man."
She picked up the raspberries and went back to work adding them to the layer. Hugh kissed her neck.
"I could help."
"That's definitely against the rules, so no." He kissed her again, a little higher this time, and right on the spot beneath her ear that always got a response. She giggled and swatted at him.
"Stop that now, or I'll have you thrown out."
He whispered into her ear,
"Maybe we could get thrown out together."
"For what?"
He gripped her hip possessively.
"Inappropriate public displays of affection?"
"Hugh,"
she exclaimed,
"behave yourself."
But there was happiness in her voice, and that was enough for him. Anything to keep her mind off whatever was happening to her. He let her work, watching with interest at how careful Delaney was with everything, and how skilled. He'd never seen her at work this closely before. She was amazing. It filled him with pride, and at that moment, he didn't want her to have to leave the competition either. She deserved to win this. She topped the cake with the last layer. "There, now I just need to crumb coat it and give that time to set. Then I can do the final frosting and decoration."
"You're very good."
A little half-smile bent her mouth.
"You say that like you're just realizing it."
He smiled back.
"Seeing you work.
I'm just appreciating it for the first time. You have to stay in the competition because you're going to win."
"You think so?"
He nodded.
"I do."
"Thanks, honey."
She bumped her hip against his.
"I need to get my buttercream."
"You're not going to make me taste it again, are you?"
She laughed.
"No, not this time."
Chapter 4. Delaney was feeling better. Still tired, but that seemed to come and go in waves.
At least the nausea was gone.
But she kept that to herself. She liked having Hugh right next to her, all lovey and sweet. Not that he wasn't always, but there was something so tender and wonderful about him right now that she didn't want to do anything to break the spell. She scooped a dollop of buttercream onto the end of her offset spatula and dropped it on top of the cake.
"I'm back,"
Pandora slipped into the station. Hugh tensed at Delaney's side. What did you find out? The witch put the coffee cup back on the work table. There's nothing in there but coffee, sugar, and creamer. Hugh scowled. Check it again. Delaney elbowed her husband. If there's nothing in it, there's nothing in it. Cole and Kaylee walked up. He nodded at Delaney before looking at Pandora. How's it going? The witch answered. Really good or not good at all, depending on your point of view. The coffee? He asked. Pandora shrugged. Just coffee. A new wave of lethargy hit Delaney. I need to sit. Hugh got her into the chair, holding on to her like she might break. You want some water? He glanced up. Pandora, will you get her water? And we should call a doctor. You got it, Pandora said. You want anything else, Delaney? Maybe. She held up her hand for Pandora to wait as another wave of dizziness swept through her. Cole pulled out his cell phone. I'll get a doctor. What's wrong? Kaylee asked. Cole dialed as he answered. Mrs. Ellingham isn't feeling well, kiddo. Kaylee nodded, eyes wide as she took it all in. She walked up to Delaney. Is it because of the baby? Delaney laced her fingers with Hugh's. What baby, honey?
Pandora, water, please, Hugh said.
Your baby, Kaylee answered. The one you're going to have. Delaney stared at the teen. What are you talking about? Kaylee lifted one shoulder. You're pregnant. She waved her hands through the air near Delaney. I can see it in your aura. Pandora stopped on her way out of the baking station and pivoted. I'm totally going for that water, but wow, she grinned. You're preggo! I can't be. Delaney shook her head. Hugh stood, then knelt again, then stood.
Is this... Can she... How accurate?
He clapped a hand over his mouth and looked at Delaney. Pandora grinned. If Kaylee sees it in your aura, it's real. The kid does not misread an aura. She threw her arm around Kaylee's shoulders and hugged her. It's her gift. Delaney put a hand on her belly and looked down. A baby? Then she lifted her head, tears blurring her vision, and looked at her husband. The only thing wrong with me is morning sickness. She laughed, and a happy tear spilled down her cheek. We're having a baby! He nodded, looking very dumbstruck as his hand slowly came off his mouth. We're having a baby. Pandora, Delaney said, I think my husband could use that water. Still grinning, Pandora gave her a wink. On it. Then reality seemed to hit Hugh, and he snapped to attention. Cole, you and Kaylee keep an eye on Delaney's station. We'll be right back.
We will?
Delaney asked.
Yes.
He scooped her up in his arms. I know just how to fix you. For the second time that day, the Ellingham name was used to gain a little privacy. This time, Hugh did it in person, sending the volunteers in the first aid tent away until further notice. He laid Delaney down on one of the cots that had been set up, then pulled out his phone and texted Stanhill with instructions. He was elated at the news of her pregnancy, but the celebration could come after she was safe. She pushed up on her elbows. I'm pregnant. I'm not dying.
You're in worse shape than either one of us realized. Lay still.
You're not the boss of me. Then she made a face. Do you know what's wrong with me?
I do. The baby is draining your resources. You fed, what, a day ago?
She nodded.
You must feed every day now. I'm surprised you haven't collapsed before this. All that sugar you were ingesting must have given you false energy. Both you and the child could be in danger.
I don't feel that bad. But she lay back down, watching him with great curiosity until her eyes drifted shut and she went very still. Sleep was good for her, Hugh knew that, but what she really needed was blood. She was feeding for two now, and the child growing inside her was in as much danger as she was if that wasn't rectified immediately. A vampire baby had very different needs than a human one. Hugh paced in the confines of the small tent until Stanhill arrived 15 minutes later with a small cooler in hand. His gaze went to Delaney's sleeping form immediately.
"What's going on?"
Hugh grabbed the rook's arm. "Delaney is pregnant." Stanhill's mouth came open, and his eyes lit with joy.
"Blimey!"
The joy quickly turned into realization.
"That's why you needed the blood, and why she's feeling so off today."
Hugh took the cooler.
"Yes.
Did she eat anything for breakfast?"
"Just some toast."
"It's a wonder she lasted this long." Hugh pulled out the thermos. Delaney shifted, her eyes flickering open.
"Hey, Stanhill, what are you doing here?"
She sounded as weak as a kitten to Hugh. He knelt at her side.
"He brought you the breakfast you should have had this morning."
Stanhill nodded.
"You've got to take care of yourself, miss, now that you're in the family way and all."
He grinned.
"I never thought I'd be an uncle."
She smiled back as Hugh helped her sit up. He unscrewed the top of the thermos and handed it over, the warm, metallic scent of the nourishment inside wafting through the space. Stanhill gave a little nod.
"I'll leave you to it, then, unless you need something else. I was in the middle of running an errand for Corette."
"Go ahead," Hugh answered. "Thank you.
Anything for our Delaney."
He stuck his hands in his pockets and mumbled,
"A baby,"
on his way out. Hugh prompted her, "Drink, now. You'll feel so much better." She lifted the thermos and did just that, emptying it. When she was finished, she handed the thermos back.
"I do feel better. Much better, actually."
The color returned to her face, and the circles under her eyes vanished as he watched.
"Good. Let's get you home to rest."
She snorted and got off the cot. "Not happening. I have a contest to win, and the way I feel, I could finish everything I need to in about an hour." Her brows lifted. "Hey, we're having a baby. Your grandmother is going to lose her mind." Hugh knew that there was no arguing with her about the competition.
"That she will. Expect to be showered with gifts like you've never experienced before."
She laughed softly. "Oh, this is going to be interesting. Are you happy?" He swallowed down the emotion knotting in his throat.
"I have no words for how happy I am."
"Try."
He pulled her into his arms and held her tight, kissing her hard.
"I am the luckiest vampire in the world."
She leaned back, the mischievous glint in her eyes a welcome sight.
"Yeah, you are."
He shook his head.
"Are you sure you feel well enough to finish the day?"
"Don't I look better?"
"Infinitely.
And I feel the same way."
She kissed him, a fast, quick peck.
"Now I have to get back to my station. I have a cake to frost and cookies to ice and truffles to add gold leaf to."
He studied her, this amazing woman who had graced his life with so much happiness, the woman who was about to give him another incredible gift, a child.
"I love you, Delaney Ellingham."
She tilted her forehead to meet his.
"I love you more, Hugh Ellingham."
He smiled, joy suffusing his body like a ray of sun.
"Go bring that trophy home."
Chapter 5. Delaney stood with the rest of the contestants at the front of the crowd, waiting as the judges, Corette included, made their way to the dais. She glanced over at Hugh and smiled at him. Then she saw Roxy in the crowd, a few people away from him. Roxy waved. Delaney waved back and pointed at Hugh, mouthing, "That's my husband." Roxy looked at Hugh.
"That guy?"
she mouthed back. Delaney nodded. Roxy gave her a thumbs up and made a face that said she thought Delaney had done well. Delaney grinned and laughed softly. The approval of a romance writer was high praise indeed. Roxy was basically an expert on hot guys. Delaney turned her attention back to the stage as the MC, a local news anchor, made her way to the podium.
"Ladies and gentlemen, our judges have returned, and we're about to announce our winners. At the end, we'll have all the winners come up on stage for trophies and pictures, but feel free to applaud for them as they're announced."
The crowd cheered, and Delaney felt a knot form in her belly. This time it was undoubtedly nerves. She put her hand over her stomach anyway, marveling at the idea of life growing there. Her and Hugh's child. warmth, and happiness filled her. Whatever the outcome of today's bake-off, she had already won. The head judge handed over a sheet of paper, and the anchorwoman scanned it, then looked up at the waiting crowd. First up is the cookie category. In the adult division, our third-place winner is Nina O'Malley for her chocolate and peanut butter pinwheels. In second is Delaney Ellingham for her iced rosewater sugar cookies. And in first is Anna Louisa White for her pink peppercorn shortbread. As the junior division winners were read off, Delaney glanced over at Hugh and shrugged as he smiled back and applauded with the rest of the crowd. Second place wasn't bad, but the pink peppercorn shortbread sounded genius. She totally should have thought of that. In fact, why hadn't she? Maybe pregnancy brain had already kicked in. She'd heard that was a thing. Next up is our cake category. The competition was especially tough this year, and the judges reported that it was very close. In fact, we have a tie for third in the adult division. That honor goes to Frances Grantham and Sissy Laughlin with their strawberry bundt cake and cherry almond vanilla cake, respectively. In second place, the anchorwoman said, we have Lee Freeman with her butterscotch carrot cake, and in first, Delaney Ellingham's white chocolate raspberry mascarpone layer cake. Delaney put her hand to her heart. Wow. First was amazing. She grinned at Hugh, who positively beamed.
Now for our junior division.
The anchorwoman announced third and second, but Delaney didn't know either contestant. The woman glanced down at her notes before reading off first. And the first place cake was Mary Keller's orange chocolate pound cake. Delaney let out a whoop. Mary! She looked around and found the girl in the crowd, then rushed over to hug her. You did it! Mary's grin was as bright as her pretty face. I can't believe it! I couldn't have done it without you giving me those eggs. Thank you so much. You bet. And hey, Mary said, you won twice. Delaney shook her head as the crowd continued to applaud. I can't believe it. I barely remember making parts of that cake. The anchorwoman went on. Finally, we have the chocolates category. In third is Barry Ward and his key lime buttercreams. In second are Petra Singh's cardamom bonbons. She waited a moment for the applause to die down. And in first, Delaney Ellingham's Be Mine Honey and Champagne Truffles. She'd won. Delaney was so stunned, she barely heard the woman announce the junior division winners and end with, Well done to everyone who entered, and we'll see you next year. Winners, come on up for your trophies and pictures. Stunned, Delaney made her way up to the stage. She stood there, holding her armful of trophies and getting her picture taken, her eyes on Hugh the whole time. There were so many emotions in his gaze, but she understood every one of them. He was proud of her for winning, but he was blown away that he was going to be a father. She smiled at him and nodded, hoping he knew she got what he was feeling, because she was feeling it too. The win, which had been everything that morning, suddenly felt inconsequential. Who needed a mail-order chocolate business when you could be a mother? When the last photo was taken, she stepped off the stage and into Hugh's waiting arms. I am so proud of you, he whispered into her ear. Thanks. She couldn't stop smiling as he let her go. He took her trophies. What do you want to do next? We could swing by the shop and put these in the front window. I'd love that. You won everything! Roxy came up to her with a huge smile. You did amazing, Delaney! Outstanding! Thanks. Delaney put her arm around Hugh. Roxy, this is my husband, Hugh. Hugh, this is my friend, Roxy, who I've been telling you so much about. Hugh tipped his head in greeting. Nice to meet you. I'd shake your hand, but... He shrugged, his arms full of Delaney's trophies. I understand. Nice to meet you, too, Roxy said. I've heard a lot about you. All good. Better than good, really. You must be pretty proud of your wife, huh? I'm not sure I could put it into words, he answered, his grin broad and gleaming, fangs safely tucked away. Roxy looked at both of them, a sly expression coming over her face. Is something else going on?
It's amazing how well you did today, Delaney, and I don't want to take anything away from that, but you both seem kind of abundantly happy.
Delaney leaned in toward her friend.
Don't say anything to anyone, but I just found out I'm pregnant.
Roxy whooped, then slapped a hand over her mouth.
That's awesome! Congrats! Who am I going to tell? My lips are sealed. But talk about the hard sell to get me to move here. Fine, you win.
She held her hands up in surrender.
I'll be the godmother.
They all laughed. Then Roxy gave Delaney a little hug.
It's been so good to see you, but you guys clearly have other things to do, and I'm on a deadline. I'm taking the 3,000 pounds of chocolate I bought back to the bed and breakfast and spending some quality time with my laptop. Hugh, it was a pleasure to meet you. Delaney, I'll let you know what my next move is, literally, and keep me posted on the kidlet.
Will do, Delaney said. Talk to you soon. As Roxy disappeared into the crowd, Delaney turned to Hugh and looped her arm through his.
I love the idea of dropping the trophies off at the shop. Then we should probably go tell your grandmother. She'll lose it if she doesn't hear the good news straight from us as soon as possible.
I suppose you're right. Then we can tell my brothers.
They started walking toward the exit.
Deal, Delaney said.
Although the thought of Julian as an uncle is a little frightening.
She stopped as they got outside the tent and away from the throng of people.
How do you feel about sugar?
Like it's going to be a long, long time before I want anything sweet.
No, I mean, what do you think about the name Sugar if it's a girl?
Hugh cocked one brow. You're not serious.
She smiled and pulled him along again. I don't know. Sugar Ellingham has a nice ring to it.
He groaned. No.
Ginger?
He gave her the side eye.
Clementine?
He sighed. How about a name that isn't also a food? You know, our child might be a boy.
She laughed and put her hand on her belly. It won't be. I can feel it. Sugar's definitely a girl. Do we have an account at Santa's workshop, that toy store in town?
No, but I get the feeling we will soon.
We need to decide which room is going to be the nursery, too. And we'll need clothes, lots and lots of cute dresses and hair bows. Oh, booties! Wait until I tell Captain. He's going to be so excited.
I'm not sure the cat's going to care. Hugh shook his head. This is going to be a long 9 months, isn't it?
Maybe, she said.
He grinned and winked at her. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Author bio. Kristen Painter likes to balance her obsessions with shoes and cats by making the lives of her characters miserable and surprising her readers with interesting twists. She currently writes paranormal romance and award-winning urban fantasy. The former college English teacher can often be found all over social media where she loves to interact with readers. This has been The Vampire's Valentine Surprise, a Nocturne Falls short, written by Kristen Painter. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Copyright 2016 by Kristen Painter. Production copyright 2016 by Kristen Painter.